We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. So today, with the 28 minutes that I have, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I want to preface this by saying that 1 Peter is being written to Christians experiencing persecution. Okay, these are recently converted Christians experiencing persecution. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen people." Somebody say, "A royal priesthood." A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. You ought to be excited for that. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. The title of my message today is royalty. The title of my message is royalty. Somebody tell the person next to you, "I'm royalty. I'm royal." Come on, say it like you believe it. I am royalty. Come on. I belong to the royal family. Amen. See, we've heard it time and time again. You know, in times where things are out of our control, how many people have heard this before? You know, things might not be in your control, but God is still on the throne. Come on, y'all heard that before. I'm sure some of y'all may have tweeted it or put it on Facebook. You know, especially we're going through some crazy stuff. 2020 was absolutely insane. So many things out of our control. And it was like, you know what? You might not be in control, but guess who is? Right? God is still on the throne. And we love to say this line. We love to say this line. God is still on the throne. But do we actually understand what that means? Or do we just say it? Because it's something trendy to say. It's something popular to say. It makes you sound like you're a real Christian. But do you understand what it actually means? Do you, not even beyond understanding what it means, do you actually believe it or do you just say it? That's important too. So let's break that down a little bit. Because he who sits on the throne is the what? The king. Come on, one person said it. I know y'all know that too. The person that sits on the throne is the king. Right? And the king, our king, the king, has certain characteristics about him, right? He has certain qualities about him, and one of them is that he is sovereign. If you've never heard that word before, it means that he is above and not beneath anything that you might be going through. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my king is above all my circumstances. He's bigger than anything I could ever experience, and he is in control. Now, he is also loving. He provides unconditional love. That's not the kind of love that y'all have for each other. It is unconditional love. It doesn't matter how much we hurt him, he still chases after us. And I'm thankful for that as well. That's the kind of king that we serve. And he's also merciful. He forgives us, although we do not deserve it. He forgives us for the thing we haven't even done yet. That's a merciful God. That's a merciful king. Man, the kings that we see on TVs and movies, they're not those types of kings, but that's the king that we serve. And lastly, he is just. He is just. And some people don't like that word, but it's true. He is fair. In all areas, he is fair. And you might not like it, but it doesn't mean that it's not fair. Amen. He is fair. And you're like, okay, Pastor Mark, that's cool. I understand that this is what God is. This is what the king is. But what does that actually mean to me? What does that have anything to do with me? Well, listen to some scriptures here. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right," somebody say the right, "the right to become children of God." Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Somebody say, through faith. Through faith. 1 John chapter 3. "See how very much our Father loves us." Come on. "For he calls us his children, and that is what we are." So if you don't get where this is going at this point, I don't know what's going on with you. You might not be paying attention. But what I'm trying to say is you and I are children of the King. I don't know why no one's standing up yet, because we are children of the King. Do you hear what I'm saying? The King, not a King, but the King. You and I, we are his children. We belong to the King. Come on, that gets me excited. That gets me a little bit of, I don't know what, it makes me feel a certain type of way. I can walk with a little bit more step. You know what I'm saying? And why? Because I understand my position. Do you understand your position? You got to understand your position. See, a lot of us, we've been living as orphans, not realizing who we belong to. And let me tell you this, the devil is so afraid, shaking, so afraid of people understanding who they are and whose they are. The devil is scared of you realizing what's inside of you
and who you belong to. Because he knows that the potential that's about to be unlocked as a result of you realizing you are the son or daughter of a king. Man, he's so afraid of you realizing this truth. But see, some of the tactics that the enemy uses, we've all experienced them, to make us real, to make us feel like we are not children of a king. Some of y'all have experienced childhood trauma, right, where people put you down, or where people have walked away from your life, and you're like, how could someone ever love me? How could I ever belong to somebody if people just keep leaving my life? I feel like I am an orphan. And you know what? One of the things I got to tell y'all, parents, start praying for your kids now. Don't wait until they understand what you're speaking over them, because the enemy is after their childhood. Because if he can get them to believe something now, the Bible tells us, teach your children the way they should go. When they grow, they will not depart from it. Do you understand the enemy's trying to teach them something too? It's not just you. You're not the only teacher. So which voice is louder? Because I don't care if my daughter is six months old and doesn't understand a word of English, although she's starting to talk a little bit. I'm going to pray over her, because I know someone else thinks over her as well. Parents, take advantage of this time right now where your children are still in your home, where you still have authority, and start praying over your children. Amen? So some of us, we've experienced childhood trauma. We experienced comparison. We start to compare ourselves to other people, to those around us, and look at their lives, and we're like, how can I be a daughter of a son of a king? Do you see where I'm at? Do you see how I'm living? Do you see how they're living? They ain't got nobody ruling over them. We start to compare ourselves to other people. And the enemy's like, yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to compare to the world, even though you're not of this world. And then lastly, the enemy tries to get us through shame. How could a king ever love me after what I've done? But that's the grace and the love of our Father, amen? It's unconditional. See, regardless of the lies that the enemy has been feeding you, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you are now adopted as a child of God. Regardless of what's in your past, regardless of what's been spoken over you, you are a child of God. And as a son and daughter of the king, you have kingdom privileges. Come on now. As a daughter or son of the king, you have kingdom privileges. Yes, I said privileges, because you don't deserve that. But because of your Father, you have them. Amen. So I'm excited to get into this, y'all. Y'all excited? Y'all ready? Because I'm serious, y'all. I'm pumped for this word right now. Number one, if y'all taking notes, some of the privileges you guys have. Number one is you have access. Woo! You have access. This past weekend, my wife and I took a little trip. She spoiled me. She blessed me. We went out to Boston for one night, first night being away from Hannah. And it was quite the experience. And I'll get into this a little bit more, but we went to one of the hotels that we ended up staying in. I'll tell you more about that. But we ended up going to this hotel, the Courtyard. And I remember we walked in through the front door. And it's like, you know, there's two gliding doors, right? Two sliding doors. So we walked through the first one and the second one. You know, like, you ever walk through a door and you're expecting it to open and it just doesn't open? You're like, what am I missing here? Like, I got really close to smashing my face. And I was like, what's going on? And me and her looked at each other like, is this closed? Like, I see somebody on the other side. I know it's not closed. And then someone walked around us and just tapped their key on the lock and walked in. And we kind of stood there like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Then a phone rang. Super weird, but a phone rang and I picked up and it's like the lady in the front and she's like, you got a key? And I said, I don't have a key. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, I don't have a key. No, I'm trying to check in. And she goes, oh, you need a key to get in, but I'll let you in. I was like, okay, cool. So I got in. And then once she, you know, we checked in and everything, she handed me my key. She said, you need this key. Come on. You need this key to go up the elevator. There is nowhere else you can get into without this key. And some of us, we are trying to access the Father without Jesus. And we don't realize that Jesus is the key to God. And we're wondering why I can't connect with God. Well, did you accept Jesus into your heart? Do you have the key? Do you have the access? Because when you accept Jesus into your heart, you now have access to the Father. Through Jesus, we have the key and access to the Father. Before Jesus, people didn't have direct access to God. I don't know if y'all realize this, but back in the day, in the churches or the temples back then, they had these literal veils where only the high priest could go in through it, and he's the one that talked to God. So when I had to tell something to God, when I had to ask for forgiveness, I had to go through someone else. But now, when I accepted Jesus into my life, and I believe that he is my Savior, and he came and died for my sins and resurrected so that I could live, now I have access to the Father. So now I can get in. Now I can get in. Now I can talk to God. See, John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when we accepted Jesus into our heart and declared him as our Savior, we have access to the Father. We can now come to God with confidence, knowing that he hears us. We know that he hears us. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know what's crazy is a lot of people will come to me, especially Pastor Jordan and I, as we're pastors, they'll come to us and they'll say, can you pray for me? And we'll pray for them, believe me. Can you pray for me? And we'll pray for them. I'm sure you heard that too. People reach out to you because all of a sudden you're the holy one in your family. You know what I'm talking about? They only hit you up when you want to invite them to church. They're like, who, what, hey, what? But when they need something, they reach out to you because they know who you are and who you're connected to. But it's funny because every time somebody, especially a Christian, comes up to me and says, can you pray for me? I say, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you. But did you pray about it? I'm going to pray for you, but can you pray about it? Because if you're only going to the pastor, if you're only going to the leader, then you yourself don't have a relationship with God. And are we missing something? Like, is the pastor all of a sudden became the veil? Did we become the veil that now separates the people from God? Because I believe that you and I have the same access to the Father. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you have access to the Father. So stop waiting on someone else to pray for you. It's good to gather, as the Bible tells us, to pray for one another and carry each other's burdens. It's so good. But don't depend on that alone. Amen. You have access to the Father as well. So number one, you have access. Number two, you have authority. Come on. You have authority. All right. So back to the hotel story. I told y'all one of the hotels that we stayed at. Because what had happened was Pastor Jordan had made this reservation. And she didn't tell me where it was. And then later on, she ended up telling me. I said, well, can I see the hotel? And I looked it up, and I was like, I saw the price, right? And I said, well, it looks nice, you know, but look at all these other hotels. Look at all these other options, right? I mean, listen, I'm just that kind of person. I'm always trying to look for the best deal, okay? And I remember I started scrolling through, and I found one. I was like, this looks so nice, doesn't it? I'm trying to hype it up. Like, it's really that nice. It was just a room. And I was like, isn't it so nice? Look how close it is to everything. And she's like, I mean, yeah, sure. Like, she's like, I was sure that the other hotel was nice because we've been there before. And I was like, okay, but this one's, you know, also more affordable, you know. And so we ended up going to this other hotel, and we walked in. And right away, they're like, yeah, we have no parking. It's $40 for parking. I said, what? $40 for the night. That's what he said, like for the hotel room, right? They're like, no, $40 for parking. I was like, okay, so that is on top of already what we're paying. Okay, great. That's good. I love to hear that. That's exactly what you want to hear on your birthday week. That's good. So I remember I dropped Pastor Jordan off, and then she texts me. I said, I'm going to drop off the car, and on my way back, she's like, it's not as nice as it looked. And I said, I know what that means. We got to get out of here. You know, and I was like, oh, gosh, I'm wondering what she's thinking, you know, if she's looking around. She's like, oh, it's just not as nice. And I walk in, and she's like, she lets me in. She's like, yeah, there's stains everywhere. And I'm like, what are you, I don't notice these things, okay? I'm thinking she's like with a scope, like just trying to look for things. You know, she's got FBI in there just looking through things with a blue light and stuff. I'm thinking that's what she's, no, she's not doing that. She walked in, and there's a stain, like, I don't know, listen. It was a red stain. I'm thinking blood. Okay, that's just my first thought was, oh, that's blood. Like something happened here before. And it could have been ketchup. I have no idea. Somebody could have been eating French fries. Who knows? But I looked and I was like, that's blood. Like, I can't be here. You know? So right away, I was like, we got to switch. So we call the front desk. I said, we got to go somewhere else. You know, you have to switch us the room. So they're like, okay, I got you. No worries. Just, you're going to go right upstairs. So we go upstairs. Now we have that in our mind. Like, okay, this is not going to be good. We already know, like, this could really go south. So we go upstairs and we take the sheets off because, listen, I don't do that. Okay, I dive right into the bed and I go to sleep. That's what I go to the hotel room for. I'm trying to sleep. Those beds are nice. Those sheets are nice. And Pastor was like, no, we got to look through the sheets. You got to take the sheets off, especially now. I was like, okay, cool. We start taking them off, and I kid you not, hair everywhere. Everywhere. And I'm like, you know what's crazy is, like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I would have been fine, you know? And I remember we saw the hair, and then we started to just see stains throughout the bed. And I was like, that's good. That's exactly where I want to sleep, you know? And we looked at each other. We're like, we got to go. We just got to go. And went to the front desk, and I was like, listen, we're going to be nice. That's what I'm telling my wife on the way down. We're going to be nice, and then things are going to work out. And I remember I went downstairs and I said, look, you know, we you guys switched those already. And they're like, well, we got an upgrade for you. And I said, I know that the same people are cleaning these rooms are cleaning those rooms. So I'm not, no, thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. And I said, I know what we paid for. And that's not what we paid for. And the reason I say that to you today is because I think a lot of us are selling ourselves short because we're forgetting about the price that Jesus paid. We're already forgetting about the fact that Jesus died on a cross and he said that by his stripes, you are already healed. But we accept sickness over us. And God's, Jesus speaks these promises over us, but we don't remember that he already paid the price and we just settle for less because that's what the world settles for. And that's what makes sense. And that is what is easy. Can I tell you, God did not call you to live an easy life. God did not call you to settle. There's such a big difference between being humble and running away from the things God already promised you. Because too many times we're saying, well, I'm just trying to be humble. You know, I know I'm supposed to sit in this corner and just take the beating. No. Listen, that will come. Persecution will come. But stop running towards it. Stop running towards just this pain. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you today is that you need to understand that you are called to better. I'm explaining this because y'all are like, well, this sounds a little bit like prosperity. No, it ain't no prosperity. It's the word of God. Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to what? Plan to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So when I read this scripture and I'm not living what the scripture tells me, why would I settle for what my life is saying to me instead of what my God has already spoken over me? Stop settling. Stop settling. We have authority to change things in the spiritual realm. Stop falling victim to the lies of the enemy. You have the ability to move things. Amen. You may not have the authority that, in the worldly sense, right? But you can still pray about it. I said you can still pray about it. Because a lot of people are worried about who's in the White House right now. A lot of people is worried about who's making the decisions for the schools right now. A lot of people are worried about what's going on here and what's going on there, and you don't have the authority to make that decision, but you have the authority to pray over them. Because I think that, you know, sometimes we forget about the Bible and we forget about what happened to Paul. We forget that Paul was going after Christians and arresting them, but all of a sudden there was a radical change, a supernatural change in his life where all of a sudden he wasn't running toward away from God, he was running towards God. So why don't you, instead of trying to just complain about what's going on in your world, why don't you actually do something about it in the spiritual? You may not be able to change it in the physical, but please, I encourage you, move with the authority that God has already given you. God has already given you this authority. See, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. When we enter spiritual warfare, we fight from a position of victory. We fight from victory, not for it. Amen. We are going to see the victory. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. So number two, you have authority. Number three, you are protected. Come on. Y'all know the children of the king are protected. No one touching the children of the king, right? Come on. Nobody's touching the children of the king. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And too many times, we rely on worldly things for protection. I'm going to step on some toes right now, as Pastor Chad says. But too many times, we rely on worldly things for protection. I'm going to give you an example, because I believe everybody experienced some type of fear during the pandemic. I don't care how Christian you are. At one point or another, there was a second where you experienced fear, or maybe you're sitting in fear right now. But can I encourage you on something? Because I believe that fear can be turned for good in the way that you use it, right? You can sit on it, and you can allow it to take over you, or you can do something with it, right? And I truly believe that God wants us to turn that fear and look towards him. But the problem is that a lot of people, especially during this pandemic, they're saying, I know what's going to save me. It ain't going to be God. It's going to be the vitamins. I know what's going to save me. It's going to be the medicine. It's going to be my wealth. It's going to be the money. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how protected you are in a worldly sense. It is nothing against the attacks of the enemy over your life. Because it's a spiritual fight. The Bible tells us, I don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in the dark world. So why are you trying to fix things in the physical, not realizing it's a spiritual battle? It's a spiritual battle. Amen. So the problem is during this 2020 and wrapping up 2020, going into 2021, everybody's like, I'm going to start the year off right. And instead of starting a devotional, you're starting to prepare for pandemonium. Now, I'm not saying not to use wisdom. Believe me, that's not what I'm saying by any means. But what I'm telling you is you need to start with the right thing, and it's in the spiritual. Amen. You are protected spiritually. See, why? Because our protection and security needs to come from God. God is in our past, our present, and our future. He protects us from things we don't even see. Anybody ever been to like a close death experience? Anybody ever been in an experience where like you literally felt like your life just flashed before your eyes for a second? You know, I remember a few months back, Pastor Jordan and I, we're driving on Farm Road in Marlboro. I don't know if you guys know where that is. And we're driving, and out of nowhere, we're just talking. It's a normal Sunday afternoon. We're just talking. And out of nowhere, it was a truck. And I remember we were in one of our SUVs, but it was a big truck. And it just came flying out of nowhere. And I remember I had to jerk onto the other lane. And I'm telling you, I've been in those moments before, but this was kind of the situation where you literally thought, this is it. Like, I didn't even beep or anything because you didn't have enough time to even think or process what was going on. And I remember, like, for a second, I mean, it was literally a second, we would have been somewhere else. And I know people here have experienced things like that as well. Maybe you've actually experienced the accident. But can I encourage you with something? God knew that was going to happen. God knew that was going to happen. And yet he protected us. He protected us. And it was one of those moments where I had to look back and say, man, was that luck or was that God? Because a lot of people will say, that's just luck. Wow, Pastor Marco, you got so lucky. I didn't get lucky. I was protected. It was something spiritual that was going on, and God stepped in. And you might be like, that's just so super spiritual. That's what the Bible tells me to do. My fight is not against flesh and blood, so I'm not going to try to change things that I don't even know are going to come. God knows what's going to happen in my tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen when you walk out of this church. So why would I rely on things that can only protect me now when God knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Amen. I'm going to rely on the God that sees my past, my present, and my future. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Listen to this. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Come on now. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. See, being protected doesn't mean that you're not going to experience the drought. That's what you need to understand. Because a lot of people are like, okay, well, I'm going to become a Christian. And then all of a sudden, things are just going to be dandy. My life is going to be perfect. I'm never going to experience pain. The Bible tells us that in this world, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. But you're going to experience pain. We were all impacted in one way or another last year. But seasons of drought come and go. God never changes. God never changes. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Amen. He's an everlasting rock. And my last point as I finish, as children of the King, you are enough. You are enough. See, many people struggle with the idea of not feeling like they are enough. I'll be honest. I'll be just transparent with you guys. So I feel like I always am. And this is like my therapy session, really. I'm just kidding. But, you know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to my wife. And I was going through this season where I was really feeling like I was failing in all areas of my life, if I could just be honest with y'all. Like, I broke down on her and I said, look, I just feel like I'm coming up short everywhere. Like, I'm not enough, a good enough pastor. I'm not a good enough father. I'm not a good enough husband. I'm not a good enough employee. And I feel like I was trying so hard to just reach and just be the best that I could be. And I broke down in front of her and I said, look, I feel like I'm just not enough. And I don't know if you can relate to that at some point in your life. Maybe that's what you're feeling right now. Like, I feel like I'm just trying so hard to be the right mother that my children need to see. But I feel like when I close the door, I break down each and every time because I'm trying my best, but it's not enough. Or maybe I'm trying to do the best in my job, and I know that it's just not enough. And I keep getting called out by my boss, and I'm trying, but it's just not enough. And it feels like from left and right, up and down, everything is just coming at me, and that just feels like I'm not enough. And that's what I was feeling. And I cried out to God, and this is what God said to me. God said, you need to remember that your value doesn't come from your performance. Your value comes from me. Your value comes from who I said you are. Man, we sing this song, and I know we get excited during worship, but sometimes we forget what we're actually singing. But the Bible this song says that I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. So in those moments where you feel like you're just not enough, you need to remind yourself, even though things seem to be falling apart in the physical world, I know who my God says I am. And it doesn't matter what today looks like because he's already spoken over my tomorrow. And I am who God says I am, so I am enough. You are enough. I know there's people here today that need to hear that. You feel like you're not enough in your marriage. You feel like you're not enough as a son, as a daughter, as a friend. You feel like you're not enough. But you're more than enough for God. See, I love the story of the prodigal son. And I know most people know this story. But it's a story of a son who leaves his father and takes all of his wealth, his inheritance, takes it and blows it all away and just crazy living. And he ends up realizing, comes to a moment of realization when he lost it all, that he had it so good in his father's house. And he said, if I could only become my father's servant, that would be more than enough. See, he forgot who he was. Because it didn't matter that he was eating with the pigs or that he was craving what the pigs were eating. He has lost it all. Because he was still a son. It doesn't matter where you're at today. If you've declared Jesus to be your Savior, you're still a son. You're still a daughter. It doesn't matter how far away you ran. It doesn't change who you are to God.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.